Okay. Bismillah walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. How's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nothing to complain about, right? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we're going to go ahead and continue. We are kind of in the halfway point of our series, right? The Cultivating Character series at Soul Food. Inshallah, we're going to aim to finish before Ramadan, inshallah. Ramadan, most likely, probably on like March 11th-ish. Taraweeh might be, you know, that evening. So I believe we have about like six or seven sessions left before Ramadan starts. So our game plan is to, inshallah, end or finish the series before that beautiful time of the year approaches us, alhamdulillah. So just to kind of recap a little bit, right, from the previous lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was expressing to us, he was sharing with us these wisdoms and these lessons from the Quran about this particular, you know, portion about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطِعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُمْ. Allah is essentially saying here that know that when the Prophet ﷺ is amongst you, that he is with you, he is near you, right? As a companion, specifically at the time in which he was alive, but also at the same time, for those of us who are not around him physically anymore, know that the Prophet ﷺ's tradition and his sunnah is very much alive, right? So he follows the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever he follows is just an echo of whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, okay? And so whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, it is of the best interest of the Muslim ummah to follow in that tradition. And if you had been people who kind of followed your own shahwa, you followed your own desires, you followed your own opinion over the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah ta'ala, he says, la anitum. You would have been like destroyed. You would have been finished, right? There are so many instances in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam imparted wisdom upon the community that if the community had kind of said, no, you know what? That's cool. We're going to go our own way. You do your thing, but we're going to do our own thing. Allah says, la anitum. You would have been done. There is no chance for the ummah to survive if it wasn't for you all listening to your Prophet. Okay, and he says here, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ but rather Allah حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ Allah made iman beloved to you. And that's why you followed your messenger, right? Because you saw in him this beautiful example, faith became something that was beloved to you. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ and you found it within your heart to find that same faith extremely beautiful. That faith, it beautified your heart. How many times, right? And sometimes, you know, when we speak about the heart, the qalb in Islam, sometimes, you know, we speak about it in a really spiritual way, right? It's not the physical heart, it's the spiritual heart. But how many of us, think about this really, really critically, how many of us have engaged in certain spiritual worship, right? You prayed your salah in the masjid. You engaged in some dua in a very beautiful day or beautiful evening, and you felt like a lightness in your heart, meaning that like you felt like this purity within your heart, like a lot of things that were kind of weighing you down just somehow, some way were pushed out. And it's because you engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so as much as we speak about the beautification of the heart as a spiritual thing, the beautification of the heart is actually something that a Muslim can actually feel in a lot of times, right? And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. He says, فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانِ And naturally, things that are detestable for a Muslim, right? Kufr, right? The association of partners with Allah, وَالْفُسُوقَ and sinning shamelessly, publicly, without a care in the world, وَلِعِسْيَانِ disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those things become pushed away from the heart, right? And, you know, think about dropping bad habits after taking upon yourselves good ones, right? A person who begins to pray regularly, they start to drop habits that seem to be uncomfortable for them, that may have been normal for them a year ago, may have been okay in their standards a year ago, but now because they've introduced that beautiful tradition within their lives, they no longer feel comfortable doing certain things anymore. It's like, think about a friend, like, or a group of friends that were bad influences upon you, right? They weren't good people to keep around you, and because you onboarded good friends in your life, you onboarded good people in your life, for the first time, you found it really, really just beautiful, the company that you have. So you started to kind of go away from the company that used to weigh you down. And this is the development of a person. This is the good side of a person, that you're actually growing in the right direction. All right? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. Allah says that these are the people who are beautifully and rightly guided. All right? فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمًا وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. This is from the bounty and the blessings of Allah, and Allah is the all-knowing and the all-wise. Now, we now get to our meat and potatoes, as they say, of today. We're going to go through just two ayat, verses 9 and verse 10. And verse 9 begins to teach us a little bit about what the teaching of Allah and His Messenger are when it comes to the topic of solving conflicts within the Muslim Ummah. Okay? How do you reconcile relationships between people who say La ilaha illallah, right? There are going to be times, and by the way, one of the lessons I want you guys to take away first and foremost is that just because you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah does not mean that you're like free from arguing with one another. It's going to happen, right? The entire, you know, story behind the surah was that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu got into like a verbal altercation with one another. And by the way, those altercations, those conflicts may not come from bad places. They may actually come from pure intentions. How many times have you gotten into arguments and fights with your friends that you care about, that you love, maybe even family members, and both of you are actually coming from a pure intention? You're coming from a good intention. One person's not clearly evil, right? One of you thinks that something should be done this way, the other person thinks it should be done that way, and there may be a misunderstanding upon the way certain things were said, and there goes that conflict, right? It doesn't mean someone's inherently evil. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has challenged the ummah with certain things, right? That's why there are disagreements and differences of opinion. But how should you go about that when conflict arises, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions here in the Quran, He says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that when two parties among the believers are fighting or arguing, they're disagreeing, okay? And He uses the word mu'mineen, which means that these two are Muslims. They're Muslims, right? And by the way, one of the most beautiful takeaways from this opening portion of verse number 9 is that Allah addresses how Muslims should, you know, reconcile differences of opinion with one another. Why? Because your standards are higher. Your standards are higher. Allah Ta'ala holds you to a higher standard. Because you said, La ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows that you are capable. You have the potential to deal with even disagreements beautifully, right? The way that a Muslim disagrees with another Muslim is very different than a non-Muslim disagreeing with a non-Muslim. It has to be. You are exemplary. Allah Ta'ala, He mentions that in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put you upon this dunya as a khalifa. You are upon this dunya, this earth, as a representative of what it means to be upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even when you argue, when you have conflicts, you deal with those conflicts differently than a normal person would. And so even when, subhanAllah, you know, I sometimes think to myself, right? When non-Muslims see us, are they impressed even by the moments in which we are not people who agree with one another, when not everything's going the right way? Can they even look at us and be like, man, you know, they won't say subhanAllah, but they're like, oh man, you know, the way they even, you know, their disagreements are something that's beautiful. Look at the way they're treating each other, right? Because sometimes when you don't have Allah Ta'ala in your heart and you fight, you disagree, all, you know, sorts of morals and standards basically just kind of go right out the window. But a Muslim, at the end of the day, they remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's watching them. So even when they disagree with ihsan. They disagree with beauty, right? So Allah, He says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. Then make peace between them. You should reconcile between them. You should make sure that you are not fanning the flames. So Allah is talking about a third person seeing two Muslims arguing with one another or fighting with one another, all right? What does that third person do? A lot of times shaitan comes into the mix and shaitan's like, all right, it's your time. Get in there, big guy. Let's try to stir up the pot a little bit, right? This is already dicey, but we can make it dicier. And this is what we call instigation 101. Shaitan is like instigator 101. And so sometimes that waswas, right, Allah talks about in the Quran, gets to the best of us. We hear shaitan's whispering and we're like, yeah, man, I wonder what's going on between these two people. Like, I wonder, like, why this person's so messed up, man. Like, why would you do that? Rather, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, is فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. You should reconcile between them. Do right by them. Don't try to fan the flames, but actually bring people together. Okay? Now, what does He say? He says, وَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيئَ إِلَى الْأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. He says, but if one of them clearly is in the wrong, right? And you guys probably witness this in your social lives. If one person is clearly in the wrong, Allah Ta'ala, He says, then make sure that you take the side of right. By the way, don't take the word fight as like quite literal in every sense. I want you to think of like the word oppose, right? Think of the word oppose. It's a better word to use rather than fight, sometimes in context, right? So Allah says, oppose the person who is in the wrong. Like, don't side with that person. Side with the person who is obviously the one who is a salih, right? He's doing things the right way. But until, if the other group of people, they realize that what they're doing is wrong, and then they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then again, you should bring those two people together. Now, I want to share something very, very interesting here. There is a very, subhanAllah, an incredible lesson taught in Surah Al-Lahab. Anyone know Surah Al-Lahab? Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab, right? It's all about Abu Lahab and his wife, right? These are people who were very much like abusers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to essentially make the Prophet's life extremely difficult. And I'll tell you a little bit of like just like the overall like vibe of Abu Lahab. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to preach about Islam, he gathered everybody to this area in Mecca, right, in which it was like a mountain, essentially like a hill. And he said to them, you know, if I were to tell you that there was a group of people coming to attack you from behind this mountain, would you believe me? And they would obviously, they would say, yeah, of course, Ya Muhammad. Right? They would call him a Sadiq al-Amin, by the way. They believed, they trusted, they really had a lot of amana, right, this trust with him. And so they said, of course, Ya Muhammad, would believe you. And so he says, I'm here to warn you about something like a punishment of people who neglect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives, and a good reward for people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Lahab was one of the people who said, is this seriously the reason why you brought us here? He goes, this is the reason why you brought us all the way here, man? And he said, tabban lak. And in Arabic, you know, if anyone kind of knows like general Arabic lingo, tabban lak is like a very, very rude, offensive thing to say to somebody. It basically means like, may you be like perished. Like, and I'm putting in like very like Shakespearean words, right? You can kind of translate the modern day, you know, like forget you, right? Just turn that into something that your kids' ears would be covered with, right? That's essentially what he said to him. And so when you say something like that to a prophet of Allah, the one who's going to come to the defense is who? Allah. Allah will come to the Prophet's defense. So Allah revealed an entire surah about the punishment of Abu Lahab because of his hostility towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, "Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab." May the hands of Abu Lahab perish. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Neither your wealth nor your children will basically benefit you in the afterlife. Because Abu Lahab had this kind of like arrogance about him where he would say like, yeah, man, like if Muhammad's religion is right, like, okay, cool, man. But like my kids and my money is going to come save me on the day of judgment. He would say stuff like that, right? So Allah says, ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب, right? سيصلى نارا ذات لهب. And then Allah mentions his wife, وَأَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ. He mentions his wife. Why? Now let's talk about this specifically. The wife of Abu Lahab, right? One of the things that she was known for, check this out. This is so, subhanAllah, it's like eerie. One of the things that she was known for was essentially kind of like kindling the flames of instigation between people around her. Okay? She would basically like take gossip around the city of Mecca. She would like hear a little bit of something and then she would like go over to the next person and kind of like, hey man, like did you hear what that person said about you? And y'all know like what that one phrase can do. Did you hear what they said about you, right? If it's like one phrase that destroyed humanity, it's that phrase right there. Like what? What did they say about me, right? Like everyone just like ready to square up. So Allah, he says about her, right? وَأَمْرَأَتَهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ. That she will be the one who carries the firewood to kindle the fire of Jahannam. You see how poetic the punishment is? Like you used to like carrying like little, you know, hot tea around with you everywhere you went, right? You like kind of pouring people's tea into their cups, metaphorically. You like spreading gossip. Oh yeah, you'll be carrying things around on the day of judgment. It's just not going to be like tea anymore. That chai is gone. Now you're going to be carrying around this like firewood that's going to be kindling the flame of the punishment of you and your husband. وَأَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّلَةَ الْحَطَبِ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ. And Allah says on top of that, also a really interesting thing about her is that she used to be known to wear like really like expensive jewelry, right? And by the way, like nothing wrong with like wearing a little bit of, you know, ice. It's okay, alhamdulillah, right? But like what the problem is when you start showing it off. Right, you do it to get basically get the attention of other people. You're like essentially like, oh man, anyone check the time? Like, you know, like you're just kind of like pulling that move, right? Like, oh gosh, I spilled something, right? Like everyone sees it coming, right? So she used to basically go around and kind of like flashing around like her jewelry and like the wealth that she had. And so Allah, he says, fi jidiha. Jid, by the way, is like a neck, like the neck, the throat. So Allah says, fi jidiha. حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ. She'll have like this like rope made out of like palm fibers around her neck on the day of judgment to symbolize that what she used to be so proud of ultimately will be the source of her destruction on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah, man, it's so scary. It's so scary how like poetic the day of judgment is going to be, right? Like you enjoyed doing certain things here that were sinful. Allah will reflect that punishment for certain people in the hereafter on the day of judgment. SubhanAllah, it's like terrifying, right? So one of the advices is, from this particular ayah, is to make sure that we are never people who are sources of instigation, right? We never want to be those people. We never want to be that person who is known to cause trouble between people. In fact, it is the opposite that is revered in our religion. There's a very scary hadith that shares that the followers of shaitan will be gathering around him and they will be bringing to him all the different things that they did that were evil in this dunya. So that somebody will go up to Shaitan and say, you know, Shaitan, I made this person miss prayer. Oh, Shaitan, I made this person be rude to their parents. Oh, Shaitan, I made this person steal from another person. Oh, Shaitan, I caused, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And Shaitan will basically one by one kind of dismiss each person. He'll say, oh, yeah, that sounds okay, cool, next. Okay, next, it's like, not impressed, not impressed, not impressed. Ultimately, he will be approached by one who says, I caused so much turmoil between people that I caused a husband and a wife to part ways from each other. Now, I'm not saying that like, obviously natural, you know, don't take that example and run with it and say like, oh yeah, like any fight between my spouse is like, no, like I'm not saying that. Obviously there's natural argumentation that happens within families, but the ones that come from pride, from kibr, from arrogance, know that this is something that Shaitan feels very proud of. To separate relationships that are beautiful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A parent, a mother and a child, a father and a child, a husband and a wife, right? These are relationships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a lot of barakah in. And so to cause fitna between these people is so harmful. And so Allah ta'ala is advising us to be careful about these things, okay? So be on the side of being upright and righteous. Don't be on the side of the one who breaks people apart. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Ansur akhaqa zaliman aw madhluman." He said, "Oh my people, help your people, whether they be oppressors or they be oppressed." And so naturally, everybody was like, "Ya Rasulullah, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? Of course, like, we help the people who are oppressed, but how do you help someone who is an oppressor?" And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Tamna'uhu min al-dhulmi fadhaka nasruka iyyahu." He says, help him by stopping him from harming other people. So if you see somebody and one is clearly in the wrong, make sure that you assess the situation. You know, one of the pieces of advice that I received from my teachers and my sheikh is that one of the signs of just maturity as a person is that you don't just automatically believe the first thing that you hear, you always hear out both sides. That's the least you could do. Not saying that you don't have the right to formulate your opinions from hearing whatever you hear, but always do justice by at least hearing out both sides. Because you might hear something from one person, and that other person, even if they may be in the wrong, they deserve to at least like say their piece, right? So hear both sides. And make sure that you are everything that you do. Hatta tafi'a ila amrillah. Make sure whatever you do is always aligned with Allah Ta'ala in mind. Always go with that. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, always make sure that your right and wrong is decided by that. Okay? And I'll tell you, sometimes it's trippy. Because sometimes people may do certain things because they say, "Oh, I'm doing this because of Allah." But they might do it in the completely wrong way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. People who, it's called spiritual abuse, man. It's not an uncommon thing. People forcing people to do certain things Islamically, right? Yelling at people because, oh, like this person isn't praying properly. Yelling at somebody because, oh, this person isn't dressed the way that I'm dressed. I'm dressed like a Muslim, they're not. This person isn't doing this right or that right. This, they might be saying, "Yeah, I'm doing this because I love Allah," but you're doing it completely away from the sunnah of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not always about the what, it's about the how. Okay? And so here, after this, Allah, He says, فَإِن فَاءَتْ فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Now, if both of them are agreeing upon what Allah and His Messenger said, فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Make sure you bring these two people together. They're such a reward. I wanted to share this beautiful, beautiful hadith with you guys. It's found in Muslim Imam Ahmad, where the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "Should I tell you what is better in degree than prayer, fasting, and charity?" Subhanallah. It's better and it's maqam. It's like station. It's rank than perhaps even prayer, fasting, and charity. And then the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they're so eager, right? Like, I mean, what could be better than prayer, charity, and fasting? I mean, these are such sincere acts of worship. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, reconciling people, bringing two people who say La ilaha illallah, who grew apart, bringing them together. He says, for grudges and disputes are the razor that shaves iman. Subhanallah. How beautiful imagery the Prophet ﷺ, he uses. That, you know, grudges and disputes is the thing that shaves off a person's iman. Holding grudges against people. This is what happens, right? A person who holds ill will towards another person. Their argument, their fight may have been about something, you know, a little bit less serious. But that seriousness grew because the time that festered grew longer and longer and longer. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he always advised to not allow a conflict or that kind of like awkward silence and that, you know, time away from one another to extend past how long? Anyone know? 3 days. Don't allow it to get longer than that.
Don't allow it to grow further than that. Why? Because Allah knows. The Prophet ﷺ knows. Yeah, when you have like an argument with a friend of yours and like, you know, emotions are high and tempers flare, sure, you may need some time away. How many of y'all have had to walk away from a situation? Because that was the smartest thing to do. Of course it was. That's a great decision, by the way. I know some of y'all are like, you know, there's that psychological thing called fight or flight. Some of y'all just cannot flight. You just fight. That's just who you are. You're like, we're going to solve this right here, right now. And your friend is like, please, the last person I want to talk to right now is you. And you're like, no, I'm sitting in this car until this is over. And you're like, oh my God, it's the worst. So some of y'all are people who are like, yeah, I want to like, I want to solve this right now. I want to solve this right here, right now. And by the way, this is the diversity of the ummah, right? Not everyone's the same. Some people need their time. But don't allow that time to be so extensive where you begin to fester hate and ill will and bad thoughts of one another. You're sitting at home after a fight. One day goes by, you cool your head. Alhamdulillah. That second day, you might still need. That third day is that day where you're like, all right, you know what? I'm going to start kind of maybe figuring out how I can heal this situation because this doesn't sit right with me. You should never go to bed at night feeling badly towards a person. There's an incredible, incredible moment where the Prophet ﷺ one time was sitting with his companions and he saw a man walk by. And the Prophet ﷺ, he looked at his companions and he said, look, that is a person of paradise. There was nothing visibly that like differentiated him from anybody else, okay? He looked the same, like Muslim guy, all right? So all the companions were you know, astonished. Like, what's so special? Like, you know, all the little side conversations started happening. Like, who is that guy, right? Like, what's so special about him? So one of the companions, radiallahu anhu, he made up like a situation where he told his family that like, you know, I gotta go, I gotta like spend some time away and like, you know, whatever. He made some sort of story up. So he went and he knocked at the door of this person. And he goes, yeah, Habib, I need to stay with you for a few days. Is that okay? And the guy's like, oh, okay, like whatever, right? Like, you know, I need a little break and I need to stay with somebody. Can I stay with you? Can you host me for a few days? And he's like, all right, cool, that's fine. All right, so he comes inside and he stays with him. He observes him for like days. Just days he observes him for. Dude just prays like a normal Muslim. He like wakes up in the morning, uses like his miswak, brushes his teeth, prays fajr, does wudu, goes to work, takes a little lunch break, comes home, hangs out with his family, prays maghrib, prays isha, goes to sleep at night. Normal guy. So after a few days go by, he's like, all right, man, I got a level with you. I got a level with you. When you walked by us a few days ago, the Prophet ﷺ told us that you're a man of Jannah. Spoiler alert. Like, I don't know like if I'm ruining something for you. But I gotta tell you something. Like, no offense. What do you do? Like, I've seen you for like 3 days straight. I haven't seen anything out of the ordinary. And you know what he said back to him? He goes, man, beats me, right? Like, I don't know either. He goes, I don't know what I do that special. Like, what? Like, that's crazy. The Prophet ﷺ said that about me? He's like, yeah. Because what do I do that's, I don't know. I'm trying to think like, my kid's name is like Abdullah. I'm like, he's like going down the list, right? What do I do that's so special? He goes, it beats me, man. Like, you got to go back to the Prophet and ask him, I guess. And he's like, he leaves like defeated. Right before he leaves, he goes, wait. He says, yes? Because there might be one thing. He goes, what is it? Please tell me. He goes, every night I go to sleep, I make sure that I mend every relationship that I may have harmed in my life, and I never go to sleep at night feeling any ill way about anyone that I know. I go to sleep at night peaceful in my heart. I don't have any weight that I carry. How many of us, subhanAllah, think about this? How many of us feel the burden and the weight of ill will, jealousy, right? Like that uncertainty, that unsettling feeling within the heart, going to sleep at night. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't like this the way that we left off. And wallahi, you know that statement, like, you might not wake up tomorrow. So make sure that you reconcile your relationships. If you feel that, like, you had a little bit of an argument with, like, a parent, and by the way, like, those are the most important. Do like your hierarchy, right? Yeah, there may be a person like long way down the line in the hierarchy, but like think about parents, siblings, right? Close friends, people who I look up to. Make sure that I'm never, ever allowing my head to hit the pillow at night if there's any sort of ill will that I have towards them. And if I may have said something that offended somebody, always tell that person, I ask you for forgiveness. Can I tell you a funny story? SubhanAllah, this brother's a beautiful person. I went to Umrah with him, okay? And I was teaching this class, like literally maybe like 3 weeks ago, whenever we started the surah, maybe like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I don't remember, can't remember. I remember I stated, it was the ayat about, you know, the people who came to the apartment of the Prophet's wife and knocked, you know, and didn't even knock, they just yelled, say, yeah, Muhammad, come out. And we talked the entire night about how you make sure to appreciate people's privacy and don't make sure not to like overstep your bounds, right? Your boundaries. This person, he texts me, he went to Umrah with me, he texts me right after class, he goes, hey, salamu alaikum, I watch your live stream, man. And he sent me this essay about, he's like, I ask you for forgiveness for anything that I've done for the 8 days we were together, please forgive me if there's anything that I did. And like, you know those text messages that you receive where you're just like, huh, right? I'm like, and I thought about it, I was like, did this guy do anything besides just be like the most stand-up, amazing character I've ever seen in my life? And so I responded back to him. I said, Habib, I said, you have nothing to apologize for. If anything, like, I'm sorry if I ever did something out of my own ignorance to offend you. But to me, my thought of him was solidified when he had the, just like the self-awareness. Like he probably didn't even think of anything that he did incorrectly, but he just said, just in case, there was so much like ihtiram, like respect and reverence for one another, that he's like, I just don't want to be a person who just goes to sleep at night, perhaps if I did something that offended this person. Such a beautiful gesture. And it only raised the respect that I had for him that already existed in the first place. So it's something that's beautiful to do, right? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ فَأَقْصِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. And if they do so, then make peace between them in all fairness and act justly. بِالْعَدْل. One of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Adl, the one who is the most just, right? And then he says, وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are extremely, extremely just with the people in their lives. Okay? So live this kind of, you know, example of being just with the people around you. Don't be a person who is known to be one-sided. You never want to be that person. Whenever we leave this dunya, whenever we depart from our relationship with this earth, our legacy should be people that always took the side of justice no matter what. Always took the side of fairness no matter what. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are extremely just and extremely fair. And so then finally, in verse number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says right here, he says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Allah, he says, the believers are but one. Know that what ties you all together is one thing. Faith is the thing that will glue you together more than anything else in your life. Faith is the thing that you all say. And by the way, think about it. Your hearts are connected to people like the people in Gaza, like the people in Palestine, the people in Yemen, the people that are being hurt all over the world. And why do you think that those moments where you see them making dua, praying, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for patience, why do you think it hits you hard? You know, one of the things that hits me really hard is sometimes the things that I see in the videos from the people of Palestine, those are du'as that also that I make sometimes. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Raise of hands. How many of you guys have ever said that statement in your life before? Those are the same words that came out of the mouths of people that are in Gaza right now. Don't you think that ties you all together somehow? When these people are being harmed, they say, La ilaha illallah. They're claiming, they're stating with emphasis that there's only one God. Haven't you ever said, La ilaha illallah in your life? In your salah? You say it multiple times. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. You lift your right finger, you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. You don't think that these words are things that connect people's hearts together? So Allah, He says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. You guys are all one brotherhood and one sisterhood. Your hearts beat as one. On the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises you, you'll be raised with each other. You'll see, oh yeah, I prayed with that person. Y'all ever had like a journey or like a moment, spiritual experience, and you may not know anything about that person, but you just prayed with them? You just saw them? Right? I remember like 100%, like all the Umrah groups that I've been on, I remember those people very, very distinctly. I always remember them. You know what I'll always remember? In my mind, this is crazy. It happened in Mecca, like in 2019. I was praying right outside the Haram. I wasn't in time to make it into the actual masjid, like the main masjid area. So I had to pray in the courtyard outside. And there was a guy who came next to me, and I didn't have like a prayer rug with me. And so, like, you know, anyone know like the hard marble outside of there? It's like, bro, your forehead, if you can put your forehead on that, you can put your forehead on anything, okay? So this guy, he comes up next to me, and he's like, can I pray next to you? I said, of course you can. And without even stating anything, he takes his prayer rug, and he puts it sideways, and he puts it in front of both of us. Wallahi, I don't know that dude's name. I have no idea. It's like a random, like, Abdullah or Muhammad, whatever it is. But I will always remember that moment. I will always remember what he looked like. Always. Till I pass away, inshallah, I'll remember that person. I will remember that image in my head. So when Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ, think about that. Think about how your salah ties you. Even if you're standing next to somebody in jama'ah, a sister standing next to a sister, a brother standing next to a brother, you might not know that person, but you prayed next to each other. That's a deep connection right there. That's heavy, right? فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَ أَخْوَيْكُمْ. So make peace between your brothers and sisters. Sometimes we see each other as strangers. And that's why it's hard to reconcile those relationships. You get into a fight at roots. A'udhu billah. It'll never happen, inshallah. Let's say, for example, someone skips you in line, grabs a latte. So by the time that you order your cappuccino, it's already time to go to start class. And you're like, oh my God, this sister always ordering her like 8 pumps of vanilla, taking up too much time, like all these random things, right? But then you remember, no, this is like my sister. Her latte is my latte, okay? Like, we share, right? Sharing is caring. You take it to the next level. Steal her drink mid-session. But, you know, like all of those things, like those petty differences, those small dunyai differences. You can have dunyai differences. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu an, they had dunyai opinions that were different. Abu Bakr said, Ya Umar, I swear, you only disagree with me because you want to disagree with me. Y'all ever said that to your siblings before? You're only doing the opposite because you know I'm the other one that has the other opinion, right? Hey, dunyai, man. It's dunya stuff. Sometimes you will get into dunyai arguments. But you know what tied Umar ibn Khattab and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Is because they were in the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ together. And look at the way they're buried in Medina. Right next to one another. The Prophet ﷺ one time was walking into his masjid, and he was walking with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu an, like hand in hand. Like there were like three, like you know like when the squad rolls up? It's like crazy, like that, like image is beautiful. So like the Prophet ﷺ in the middle, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq one side, Umar radiallahu an on the other side. And all the other sahaba that were waiting in the masjid for prayer, they were like, man, there goes the Avengers, right? Like they're walking into the masjid, right? And so they're like all looking at them, and they're like smiling, right? They're like, oh man, like such a cool view, right? And so the Prophet smiles back at them and he says, you see the way that we are here? He goes, we're like this in the dunya and we're going to be like this in the afterlife. You are with the people that you love, man. You are with the people that you love. You are upon the deen of your closest companions. This is what connects you guys together. And at the very end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And at the end of it all, He says, and be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّكُمْ. By the way, لَعَلَّ in Arabic, in like Arabic, like kind of nuance, balagha, it's known as like something that's conditional. لَعَلَّ. So Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So be mindful of Allah if you want to be shown mercy. What does that mean? It means, you remember those nights that you raise your hands asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness? Ask yourself, do you forgive the people that have wronged you in your life? It's one of the most humbling things that a person can go through. When you think about the times that we neglect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes much easier to forgive the people that have wronged us. Because sometimes when somebody wrongs you, you kind of like put yourself on this pedestal where you feel like you're like this like untouchable person, right? Like, oh yeah, like that person harmed me, right? That person did something wrong to me. But as soon as you step up onto the prayer rug and you remember all the times that you neglected your duties to Allah, or you remember that time that you actually were in the wrong, on the wrong end of offending another person, you start to humanize yourself and remember that you are also in so many ways so imperfect. And forgiving people around you becomes so much easier because of that. Because you remember your own deficiencies. You remember your own problems that you have. You remember your own faults that you have. When a person continues to think that they're perfect, they will never be able to forgive the people around them. When that person begins to realize the faults within themselves, the forgiveness that they have for other people becomes so much easier. It's a process that's so much easier. And so we'll end with this, inshallah. I wanted to kind of save this till the very end because I believe we only have a few minutes left before Salatul Isha. Yes, I wanted to share this with you guys. It says here, subhanAllah, إِنَّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِنَ اللُّؤْلُؤِنْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ الرَّحْمَانِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِمَا أَقْسَطُوا فِي دُنْيَا. He says, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, those who are fair and just in this life, they will be upon manabira, like mimbars, made out of pearls before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on account of their fairness. So remember we talked about Abu Lahab, like the punishment that will reflect the arrogance in this dunya. Allah ta'ala, he says, that a person who is fair, they will be given podiums made out of pearls on the day of judgment because of the fairness they observe in this dunya. What are podiums for? Anyone know? What are they for? What are mimbars for? Speaking, talking, sharing wisdom, sometimes judging, right? So Allah will give a person a mimbar made out of pearls on the day of judgment because they used to carry themselves with such fairness in this dunya. They may have never been on a mimbar in this dunya, but Allah will give them a mimbar made out of pearls in the akhirah. Another one that I wanted to share with you guys, this is so powerful. It says here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, إِذَا دَعَى الْمُسْلِمُ لِأَخِيهِ بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ قَالَ الْمَلَكُ آمِينُ وَلَكْ بِمِثْلِهِ. Subhanallah. He says that if a Muslim invokes Allah for the benefit of their absent brother or sister, there's no one to say Ameen to their du'as, right? Like you're making du'a privately for like a brother or sister. In privacy, there's no one around you. There's no one to say Ameen to your du'as. The malaika, the angels, will be the ones that say Ameen and will make du'a for something similar for you. This is a classic manifestation of love what your brother for you love for yourself. Oh Allah, give this person happiness and sa'ada in their life. Oh Allah, give this person iman and ihsan. Oh Allah, give this person wealth and happiness. Allah, give this person, you know, good health and recovery. No one may be around you to say Ameen, but the angels will say Ameen to your du'as. Okay? And the final thing I want to share with you guys is this really, really powerful du'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if anybody wants to kind of like take like a picture of this, this is beautiful. You can look this up for yourself as well. So the du'a, and this is really beautiful. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is the one who narrated this. He says that one time we did not know what we should say when we sat in our jalsa during a prayer, during one of our salawat. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And he was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He then narrated the tradition into this same effect, that the Prophet ﷺ used to teach us these words, some words, but he did not teach them as he taught us the tashahud, meaning, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna, meaning that this is not compulsory. This is not something that you have to say in your salah, but this is a dua that the Prophet ﷺ encouraged his ummah to make. So what is that dua? The dua is, Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. O Allah, join our hearts together. Allahumma alif bayna qulubina. Wa aslih dhata baynina. And mend our relationships. Wahdina subula as-salami. Okay? And bring us, guide us to the path of peace. And bring us min al-dhulumati ila an-nur. And bring us from the darkness to the light. This is a dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to teach his companions. O Allah, bring our hearts together. O Allah, mend our relationships. O Allah, guide us to the path of as-salam, of peace. And bring us from the darkness to the light. Dhulumati ila an-nur. So this dua is something that reflects the lessons that we spoke about today of mending relationships, of putting together people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put together because of their deen, and never allowing our ego, our arrogance, our pride to ever take over our hearts and allow our own pride and ego to come in place of our deen and our iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who reconcile relationships in this dunya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to never allow us to be people who pull people apart from each other. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be examples of justice in this dunya so that we are rewarded by the one who is al-adl in the hereafter. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who learn from the beautiful words of His Qur'an. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free the people of Palestine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to end the oppression of the occupation in Palestine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from the iman of the people of Gaza. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free them from their trials and tribulations. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for all of our mistakes and our shortcomings. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all the good from us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khairan, everybody. Thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate you guys. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue on next Thursday. Ooh. One small announcement that I would like to, inshallah, make for everybody, and I don't know if this is everyone's cup of tea, but it's exciting. We only did one of these, I believe, or maybe two of them in Roots history. But inshallah, on February 9th, you can mark your calendars down, February 9th, we're going to have a soul food demographic poetry night, inshallah. Meaning that, like, you guys will be able to kind of, like, you know, submit your poems, your poetry, spoken word, and inshallah, even have a chance to perform them in front of everybody, inshallah ta'ala. And the theme is actually going to be the excitement for Ramadan, like preparation for Ramadan, the energy and the emotions that involve the readiness for Ramadan, inshallah. So mark your calendars, inshallah. That's going to be on February 9th. We encourage everyone to come out, inshallah, for that. We want to have everyone here at Roots. And inshallah, we'll see you guys next Thursday. And inshallah, in all the events that we'll be hosting together, inshallah, next month. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.